As was done before the, or as the announcements were being made, want to wish every mother here a happy Mother's Day. And as we said in the song, we're not here to honor mothers. We are here to honor God. But on this day that has been separated out by many places, many nations, to remember mothers, we want to speak on mothers wonderfully made. Our text, Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 12, we read part of it in our scripture reading this morning, but we see that the Spirit had the wise man write these words: "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." When you read this, you think possibly about wives and not mothers. But if you apply this to mothers, it's the same thing. The virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. She will not only take care of her husband, but will also take care of her children, her family. And this day is commonly known as Mother's Day. We're not gathered here for this purpose, as I've already said. We're gathered here upon this morning and upon every morning, every Lord's Day morning, to worship God. But since God instituted the home, since God set things in order the way they should be for the continuation of humanity through the birth of children, mothers have a special place in God's plan. Woman was granted the privilege. There in the Bible it tells us that she shall be saved in childbearing. Not that every woman that has a child will be saved, but that through childbearing, in God's plan set before the foundation of the world, his son would come through woman. His only begotten son. Mother's Day, or something like it, is celebrated nearly all over the world. It's celebrated in various ways and in different days in other countries. But suffice it to say, all over the world, mothers are pretty important. Stop and think about that. Without mothers, there would be no children. I don't know anyone who can't, when they look at a baby, cannot see the purity that exists there. And babies are sweet. They have a certain smell about them. I'm talking about the good smell. Babies are precious. And without mothers, there would be no babies. There would be no children. There would be no future generations. There would be no one to teach, to nurture, and bring up in the admonition of the Lord. And so, this is a day when mothers are being remembered and being honored. Oftentimes, I remember as a youth, the particular organization with which my part of my parentage worshipped, they made a big deal, and the oldest mother received a little rose or something, and the youngest mother, and I thought that was kind of odd. It was single out just two mothers in the crowd. I think all of the mothers should have been honored if they were honoring mothers. And all mothers should be remembered and should be honored. You know, many a person has realized the loss when their mother crosses the threshold of death. It's a sad, sad thing. So let's examine some scriptures this morning and some points that will show that mothers are wonderfully made. First, let's begin with what God created. God created the home. He created mankind. Without mankind, there would not be a home. Without a mother, there would not be a home. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 28, we see a passage that is the very foundation of humanity. And people want to negate it. They want to throw it out the window. These people that can't fathom that there are two genders. Makes me so angry. But look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. God created man in his own image. This is not gender specific. And we see that because as we read and continue to read in that verse, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply." Let's stop right there. all of the creation came before man. And when he created the other animals, he created male and female. He did so for the procreation of that species, so that it would continue, so that it would spread out, so that it would cover the face of the earth. The same thing with humanity. Male and female created he them. He said, be fruitful, multiply. He said, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Friends, when God created man and he created woman, this is the crowning achievement of God's creation. He put mankind over all of the rest of the creation. Can't control nature, but all of the animals, all of the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air. And when God created the home, when he created the man and the woman, and he gave the woman to the man, he instituted the home. Many a life has been ruined because of the breakdown of the home, the breakdown of God's plan. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, we're going to read a little bit about the creation of Eve. There are only two created beings, Adam and Eve, so far as humanity is concerned. But Adam was created from the dust of the earth. And in this passage, we see where Eve came from. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. The first surgery in the Bible, by the way. But notice what occurred afterwards. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. And the part that I have underlined right here, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This goes right along with what God told them in Genesis 1, 27 and 28, where we just read, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. A man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Therefore, the home must be governed and regulated by God. The home unit consists of a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. It's amazing to me when people get married, sometimes people ask questions and they say, when are you going to start your family? When you said I do, you started a family. Now, people who are married and don't have children, they're still family. I know what they're saying, but God instituted the home, and that home must be regulated by God. In Psalms 127, in verse 1, we jump forward in the Old Testament a little bit, and this is the penman, the psalmist, whichever one it was at this particular point, was directed by the Spirit to write, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I want you to look at homes today. I don't mean the structure. I mean the situation that exists in this world today with those who join themselves together for the purpose of a family. Many of them do not go by God's regulations. Many of them are not, they're ignoring what God said the family should consist of and why they are to be there. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman worketh, but in vain. And so God made the home, and part of the home was mothers, the wife, the one who was designed, created with the capability of producing children. And God made mothers to do certain things. A number of years ago, men used to make the statement, a woman's place is in the home. And people got upset about it. And I'm not here today to anger anybody, upset anybody, but they were exactly right. Not stating that a woman cannot have a place outside of the home as well. But God made mothers to do certain things. We have several verses, several of them are in Ephesians. We're going to chapter 5 and verse 25 of the book of Ephesians to see that mothers are made by God to do certain things. And that one of those things is to be loved by their husband and to love their husbands. Notice the instruction that is given there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. And then we have an example of how we are to love our wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Imagine a love so great that you would actually sacrifice yourself. For the other. Jesus Christ did that. He sacrificed himself. And he showed us how the husbands are to love their wives. And so the husbands, or the wives, mothers, excuse me, are made to be loved by their husbands. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28, just a few verses beyond this. Again, the Apostle Paul writing, and it again, the instruction is to men, but it shows that they are to love their wives, those who bring their children into the world, those who raise those children to as they guide the home. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And we see that God had built into his law the means by which a woman can be loved, adored, appreciated. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse chapter 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 points out something that many men forget. Part of it they want to focus on. That particular passage tells us, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them, speaking about their wives, those who mother their children, those who raise their children, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. I think many men forget this, that they are to honor their wives. They are to dwell with them according to knowledge. It does say, as unto the weaker vessel, and there would be some who today bristle when that is brought up. They would say, no, you can't tell a woman that she can't do anything. You can't tell a woman that she is a weaker vessel. Genetically and biologically, a woman, most of the time, is a weaker vessel. Watching something here recently, and one woman, it was brought up that she could lift 300 pounds. Well, she's stronger than I am. But I don't think this is talking about just muscular. It's talking about the physiology of the human body. The female is not made exactly like the male, and therefore they are the weaker vessel. But notice the most important part here, the latter part of this, as being heirs together of the grace of life. The Apostle Paul was writing this to the church at Ephesus. And in the church there were those who were husband and wife. There were those who were mothers. And these people needed this instruction as we need it today so that the family unit works as it should. And so that the husband and the wife, the mother, could be heir together with their husbands of the grace of life. And of course, another aspect of that is that their prayers be not hindered. That God made mothers to do certain things, to respect and reverence their husband. That's important. It shows with those group of passages there in Ephesians chapter 5, this time we're going to verse 33, that this is to be a mutual respect, a mutual honoring, a love one for another, and a love most importantly for God who created all things. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33 reads, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. It goes right along with what we read in verses 25 and verse 28, but look at verse the latter part of verse 33, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Not simply because he is a husband. There are some husbands that don't conduct themselves as they should. There are some mothers that don't conduct themselves as they should. But when things work as they should, there should be reverence one to another. There should be respect one to another. These mothers are also to train their children. The aged women are to teach the younger women this. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. We know that the idea of how homes are to be structured now in the minds of many people is different than what the Bible says. Somewhere, I think it was in the 60s, people decided they had to have everything that was available. And because they had to have about everything that was available, or perhaps because things were economically so unsound that the mother would have to go to work. And then we have this idea or this concept, these latchkey children. These children who come home and there's not a, one of their parents is not home. There was a reason God planned for the mothers to be at home with the children. Because it's the mother's job to train the children. In Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, the aged women were to teach the younger women that they may teach the young women to be sober, serious-minded, to love their husbands. There's more to loving the husband than just saying, I love you. There's more to loving the wife and the mother than just saying, I love you. To love their children. Notice that they were to be discreet. They were to be chaste. They were to be keepers at home. In other words, they were the ones that run the home. A lot of times men, we think we're in charge. Friends, the mothers run the home. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, the husband must have input also. He is the head of the house. Oftentimes, people need to be reminded of the fact that the husband is the head of the house, but the mother is the neck that turns the head. No, that's not so either. They are together. Remember, we already pointed out that they were to be heirs together of the grace of life. And collectively, they were to provide and run the home. And traditionally, the husband would go out and he would earn a living. And the mother would raise the children. And she would bring them up in such a way as they would be profitable and productive adults when they grew up. So they're to be keepers at home. They're to be good. They're to be obedient to their husbands. Not too terribly long ago, I remember that someone stated that they did not want in their vows that they are to obey their husband. Friend, this is a concept of the Bible. Be obedient unto their husbands. Why? All of these things, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, when we go against the word of God, we're speaking against it. That's what blasphemy is, speaking against. And when we go against the word of God in any way, shape, or fashion, we are blaspheming. And so the instruction to be given there in Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. All of these things was so that the word of God be not blasphemed. And we have examples of this. This is what occurred in the family of Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. We know that the apostle Paul was directed to write to Timothy. And as he was directed to write, he wrote what we see there. And it shows the solid nature of the mothers in that family. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Notice, if you will, the progression of things. The grandmother believed. She had faith. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes from the word of God. Hearing the word of God. And her daughter, Eunice, also believed. She was the mother of Timothy. And she handed down this love of the Word, this love of the Scripture, this love of God. And that, my friends, is how mother is wonderfully made. She has the ability to influence those children. Now, this is no solid guarantee that that child will not make mistakes on the path of life, that that child will always choose the things that he or she should choose as they grow up, as they become more mature, and as they're coming toward adulthood. Yes, they're still going to make mistakes, and yes, at some point, they have to make their own decisions. But the influence must be there. So that they have a better chance of making the right decisions. And this is obviously what happened with Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we see a passage that reflects back on 2 Timothy 1, 5. The mother and the grandmother had faith, and they directed Timothy the right way. They saw to it as they guided the home that the child learned. And 2 Timothy 2 and 3 and verse 15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. It is important for us to understand that what Timothy had at that time, because of the time in which he lived, was the Old Testament scriptures. The New Testament scriptures had not been written. They were in the process of being penned, even as this was being penned. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. That's important. What does it mean to know something? To be intimately involved in it. To really know something. You know, we oftentimes claim that we know a little bit about a lot of things. Yeah, and I guess that's true. And we were talking this morning about some computer stuff, and it quickly hit me that some of the people who were talking knew a whole lot more about what they were talking about than I did. I know where the power button is. That person knows. Why? Because they are involved in it. Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And what are these Scriptures able to do? According to 2 Timothy 3:15, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. How in the world were the Old Testament Scriptures able to make him wise unto salvation? Because his mother and his grandmother knew that these Old Testament Scriptures prophesied of Jesus Christ. And they brought him up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We're told in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 that the mothers are to instruct the children. As you're turning to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, you perhaps have heard this saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Friends, whether we like it or not, the mother has the most influence upon the children. All things considered, she would spend the most time with those children. She bore those children, or even the ones that came to her shortly afterwards. She spent the most time with them, nurturing them, caring for them, loving them, guiding them. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 tells us, train up a child in the way he should go. You know, it's amazing to me that of all of God's creation, the human growing up needs a whole lot more attention from their mother than do, say, the animals in the field. Oh, the mother's a lot of times there. She watches over him. And I've heard stories about, you know, an angry mama bear tear up the world because somebody's got her babies. But look at the amount of time it takes. I mean, by the time a deer is a couple years old. Well, they're kind of out on their own. I don't know about many other species. What about children? How long does it take to train children? It depends on the child. Depends on the mother. Depends on the information that is being used to train the child. Notice, train up a child in the way he should go. Where do we want that child to go? There's not a mother alive that does not think about, where would I want my child to spend eternity? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Again, that's not a clear-cut guarantee. When children become adults, they make their own choices. And they will. Some of them before they become adults. But the influence needs to be there. We need to make sure that they understand. So mothers are to instruct the children. Here's one that a lot of people won't like. Mothers are to correct their children. What a sad, sad thing. I just can't bring myself to spank that child. I've heard mothers and fathers say that. I'm going to hurt their feelings. Look at Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. We're going to see that the wisdom of God is greater than the wisdom of man. And God created the home. God created mothers. And he designed the way that mothers are to bring up those children, so that they will be guided in the way that they should go. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I just can't bring myself to correct my child. You're doing the child a huge disservice. And I will be honest, it is most of the time the mothers that are better about meeting out the punishment. I can't think of, I can probably count on my one hand how many times that I had to correct our son. And I could use the excuse that for a lot of those years I was on the road working. But the truth of the matter is, it was handled properly. It was handled, never, I don't think he heard, wait till your daddy gets home. Perhaps he even said, I can't wait till daddy gets home. Because he was being trained, he was being corrected, and the rod and reproof perhaps added a little wisdom to him. But notice this, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. If you leave a child to go whichever way that child wants to go, unseen influences will affect that child. That's where the mother comes in. The mother is to be obeyed. Oh, children don't like that so much. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. We all know this passage. It's important that children were given to us to mold, to shape. And the mothers have the most influence upon the children. And yes, they should be obeyed. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, we see again that from the penman Solomon, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. It's important that those children receive the instruction, because God set things up for the mothers to train those children. The fathers also. Perhaps we'll talk about fathers' responsibilities on Father's Day. But it's also right to honor moms. Why? Because God told us to. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. We see the instruction this time giving to those who would be thinking about their mother or their father. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. We are commanded by God to honor our parents. Most especially if the mother was faithful and loyal in her service to God and to his word. One of the most touching scenes in the Bible to me is found in John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. We have a situation here. Jesus, of course, was born to the Virgin Mary. That which was occurred was of the Holy Spirit, but he had earthly siblings. After Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had children. But in John chapter 19, verse 25 and following, we find Jesus on the cross. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own house. That disciple, friends, was not one of his siblings. And what did he direct that disciple to do? And what was done from that point forward? He took care of Jesus' mother. From that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. What was he doing? Jesus was honoring his mother. When you stop and think about it, why should we honor moms? We owe them our very lives. In John chapter 16, verse 21, we are reminded of this. It is the function of women to have children within the bonds of marriage. And in John 16, 21, Jesus reminds them, says, A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. Now, I personally have never experienced this. I don't know the pain of childbirth. I know the cost. But I don't know the pain. And in speaking to women, you find out, or overhearing women, you find out this very thing that Jesus said is true. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. I'm sure that they remember that it was painful. But look at the joy that they have. She remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. We owe our mothers our lives. It's right to honor moms because she was our very first teacher. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we've already looked at this passage, we'll look at it again. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Who do you think was teaching Timothy the Holy Scriptures? His mother and his grandmother. And she made the family work. Again, we're going to return to Titus chapter 2 and verse 5. To be chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Wonderful, wonderful situation that God has set up in his infinite wisdom. Even before he created anything, he had the plan to create man and woman. And woman was to be the mother. And the mother is to be given great honor. And what are we to do in regard to this? Well, hopefully the mother has train the children properly. And hopefully those children continue to hear that training as they become older, and as they become aware, and as they become aware of the fact that they themselves have allowed themselves to be tainted by sin. And perhaps in a proper situation, the child could go to the mother and express concern for the condition of their soul. And that mother could guide that child through those Holy Scriptures and help them understand the need to become a child of God. Hopefully in time, all the females who are children will become mothers. And hopefully they too will guide their children as they should be in accordance to the Word of God. And they will one day help those children to understand what to do to be saved. Perhaps there are some here today who are focusing on Mother's Day. There's a much more important situation in this life, and that is whether or not a soul is redeemed. One can only be redeemed by the blood of Christ, and one can only contact the blood of Christ if they participate in the gospel plan of salvation. It is laid out in the Word in this way. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, one must hear. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One must also believe, according to Mark 16 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. One must repent. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when those people said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? We've messed up. We've killed the Son of God. What shall we do?" The first thing that they were told to do was to repent. Turn away from that. And then, of course, they were told to be baptized. And they're also to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. People say, is baptism necessary? 1 Peter 3:21 says it is. The like figure whereunto even baptism also now saves us. So what is the plan? It's very simple. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. At that time, all things become new. Old things are passed away. And then we can begin from that point forward, living our lives in accordance to the Word of God, doing what God would have us do. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we see that that includes being faithful until death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Perhaps you're here and you are a child of God, but you've allowed sin to enter into your life. Know that if that's the case, and if you've not repented of those sins, you're not in a great situation. And mother or not, you will face the punishment at the judgment. What is the instruction? Repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. We're going to give you the invitation to quote unquote come to Jesus. That's the name of our song. The way you come to Jesus is come in repentance, seeking to have your sins washed away. Come in repentance if you're a child of God, if you have need to publicly repent. Won't you come as together we stand and sing the selected hymn?